الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى, الأصل الرابع الاهتمام بعقيدة السلف علما وعملا وتعليما. الاهتمام بعقيدة السلف علما وعملا وتعليما. The fourth principle, the author he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, placing great emphasis on the creed of the Salaf in knowledge, implementation, and education. He says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, وَإِنَّ مِمَّا يُؤْسَفُ لَهُ أَنَّنَا أَصْبَحْنَا نَسْمَعُ فِي هَذِهِ الْآوِنَةِ الْأَخِيرَةِ كَلَامًا يُنَابِذُ الْعَقِيدَةِ وَيُبْعِدُهَا عَنْ سَاحَاتِ الْاهْتِمَامِ. فمن الجماعات من يعتبر مسائل العقيدة مسائل جزئيات لا يعتنى بها, بل ومنهم من يقول ما الذي يضيرنا إن أثبتنا لله يدا أو لم نثبت. He says in this regards, رحمه الله تعالى, that one of the saddening realities of our time is the emergence of views that undermine the importance of aqidah and relegate it to be a lesser priority and considering something that's not important. Some groups claim that issues of creed are minor details not worthy of attention. And some even question, what difference does it make if we affirm or deny the hand of Allah? If we affirm or deny the hand of Allah, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ نَعُذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الْخِذْلَانِ. So he says, رحمه الله, وهذه من المصائب والطامات ومن المعلوم عند الجميع ما لأقيدة التوحيد من منزلة كبرى في الشرع. This is a grave calamity, and it is known to all that the creed of Tawheed, pure Islamic monotheism, holds a supreme position in the legislation. So he says, فالخلق بأجمعه إنما خلق لغاية عظمى ألا وهي عبودية الله تعالى كما قال الله عز وجل وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون. All of the creation was brought into existence, was created for a single grand purpose, to worship Allah alone. Allah, he says, and the meaning of which is an I, meaning Allah did not create the jinn or the mankind except that they should worship me alone. I do not seek any provision from them, nor do I ask them that they should feed me. I do not seek any provision from them, any not for them or for themselves. It is Allah who provides for them and provides for the creatures, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one provides for Allah azza wa jal. He is al-ghani al-hamid. He is al-ghani al-hamid. He is the one who is rich, free of no needs, and worthy of all praise. He needs nothing and everything needs him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the author, he says, وَاللَّهُ لَمْ يُرْسِلِ الرُّسُلِ وَلَمْ يُنزِلِ الْكُتُوبَ إِلَّا لِأَجْلِ تَحْقِيقِ التَّوْحِيدِ وَدَعْوَةِ النَّاسِ إِلَيْهِ كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ يُنَزِّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ بِالرُّوحِ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ أَنْ أَنذِرُوا أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاتَّقُونَ. And Allah did not send the messengers and reveal the scriptures except to establish the Tawheed and to call the people to it, and to establish the Tawheed, to actualize the Tawheed, and to fulfill the rights of a Tawheed properly in the manner required, and to call people to that. This is the wisdom from the sending of the messengers and the revelation and the establishment of jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to actualize and fulfill the rights of a Tawheed and to establish it inwardly and outward in the people's hearts and in the lands. And to call to that. Allah, he mentioned in his book, the meaning of which is, he sends down the angels with the ruh, meaning the revelation of his command to whom he wills of his slaves, saying, warn mankind that there's none who has the right to be worshipped but me. So therefore fear me, meaning by abstaining from sins and doing evil and bad deeds. And he fear Allah Azza wa Jal by establishing the commandments properly in the manner prescribed, fearing him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and staying away from that which he has forbidden, hoping for his reward and fearing his punishment subhanahu wa ta'ala. لعثم الإساس كما في قوله وما أرسلنا من قبلك من رسول إلا نوحي إليه أنه لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدون. And as in his statement, the Most High, the meaning of which is, and we did not send any messenger before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we revealed to him saying, La ilaha illa ana. None has the right to be worshipped but me, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fa'abudun. So therefore, worship me, meaning worship me alone and no one else. Wa kama qala Allah, and as Allah the Most High, He says, Wa laqad ba'athna fi kulli ummatin rasulan an i'budu Allah wa ijtanibu at-taghut. And Allah the Most High, He has said, the meaning of which is, and we certainly sent to every nation a messenger saying, worship Allah alone and avoid the ta'ud. And avoid the ta'ud. The author, he says, rahimahullah, wa awwalu amrin fil Qur'ani al-Kareem, qawlullahi azza wa jal. And the first commandment in the noble Qur'an is the statement of Allah, the mighty and majestic. Ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum. الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبَلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The meaning of which is, O mankind, worship your Lord who created you and those before you, that you may become righteous, that you may become righteous. He says, وَأَوَّلُ مَا تَسْتَفْتِحُ بِهِ الرُّسُلُ دَعْوَةَ أَقْوَامِهِمْ قَوْلُهُمْ كَمَا حَكَى اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَنْهُمْ. And the opening call of every prophet to their people, as Allah mentioned about them, was what Allah, He says in His book, Ya qawmi, u'budu allaha ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. Ya qawmi, u'budu allaha ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. The meaning of which is, O my people, worship Allah. You have no other true God worthy of worship besides Him. You have no true God worthy of worship besides Him. The author, he says, Wa nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makatha 23 sana yad'u ila Allah. منها ثلاثة عشرة سنة في مكة وعشر سنين منها يقرر التوحيد ويدعو إليه ويحارب الشرك ويحذر منه وباقي حياته في تثبيت عقيدة التوحيد وترسيخها وفي بيان الأحكام الشرعية. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spent 23 years calling to Allah. 13 years in Mecca, 10 years of them were primarily focusing on establishing Tawheed, any before any other call. Before any other call, establishing the Tawheed, before ordering the Salat, before ordering the Zakat, before ordering any other affair, 10 years from those 13 in Mecca, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yadu'u wa yukarrir at-tawheed wa wujub ikhlas al-ibadah lillahi wahdahu subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spent 13 years in Mecca, 10 years were primarily focused on establishing Tawheed, calling to it and combating shirk, any polytheism, and warning against it. The remainder of his life was dedicated to affirming and solidifying the creed of Tawheed while also teaching the details of Islamic ruling. The rest of his life, any meaning after that, migrating to Medina, 10 years in Medina, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, dedicated to affirming and solidifying, establishing and deeply rooting the Tawheed, any establishing firmly the creed of Tawheed while also teaching the details of the Islamic legislation. كل هذا يدل دلالة واضحة على الاهتمام بأمور العقيدة تعلما وتعليما وعملا ودعوة. He says this history, and all of this history here demonstrates the immense importance of focusing on matters of creed through learning and teaching and practice and da'wah. Through learning and teaching and practice and da'wah. So the call to at-tawheed is the call to worship Allah alone with no partners, to sing Allah alone with no partners. And the issue of at-tawheed is the clarification of the statement, La ilaha illallah. So La ilaha illallah, هذه الكلمة كلمة التوحيد. This is the statement of at-tawheed. And this statement here is based upon two fundamental pillars. And that is, النفي والإثبات. النفي والإثبات. Negation and affirmation. نفي عام لجميع ما يعبد من دون الله وإثبات خاص العبادة لله وحده لا شريك له بجميع أنواعها. بجميع أنواعها. An encompassing negation, negating the right to be worshipped from everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a specific affirmation affirming that right of worship to be for Allah alone from every aspect and every manner. From every aspect and every manner. This is at-tawheed. And this is the meaning of the shahada. And these verses here, that the author he's referring to, they all clarify that meaning. So the shahada, the understanding of the statement, La ilaha illallah, to understand the proper meaning, one, he must understand these pillars. This statement here is based upon negation and affirmation. Negating the right to be worshipped from everything, absolutely, besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, major and minor in every aspect and every manner. And affirming the right of worship solely and only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Solely and for Allah only, with no partners whatsoever. We understand that? This is the meaning of the shahada. In order to establish tawheed, there must be negation and affirmation. There must be negation and affirmation. With regards to tawheed, we're negating the right of worship from everything besides Allah in every manner and every aspect, and affirming it for Allah alone in every manner and every aspect. In every manner and every aspect. This is the meaning of tawheed. So many verses clarifying this. From that, the beginning of the verse, which is known ayat al-hukuk al-ashara. Who knows that verse? The verse of the 10 rights. Ayat al-hukuk al-ashara. How does it begin? وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. That's how it begins. The 10 rights are mentioned here, and the first right is the right of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it is وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship Allah and do not associate any partners with Him. So وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ, this is to worship Allah. This is affirmation. وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Do not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. And do not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. This is negation. Huh? An encompassing negation. وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Do not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. So this verse here clarifies the meaning of tawheed. What is the meaning of the shahada and la ilaha illallah? Ay, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. To worship Allah, meaning alone, and do not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. This is the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. In the hadith of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Mu'adh, تَدْرِي مَحَقُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْإِبَادِ وَحَقُ الْإِبَادِ عَلَى اللَّهِ. O Mu'adh, you know the right of Allah upon the slaves and the right of the slaves upon Allah. He says, Allahu wa rasuluhu alam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ حَقَ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْإِبَادِ أَنْ يَعْبُدُوهُ وَلَا يُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. That they should worship Him alone and not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. So that they should worship Him, this is affirmation. And they should not associate any partners with Him whatsoever, this is a complete negation. So this is the meaning of the shahada, la ilaha illallah. Because we're talking about ibadah and we're negating that right from everything besides Allah and affirming it for Allah alone. So this text here, clarifying the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the interpretation of the shahada and la ilaha illallah. An-nafy wa ithbat. Nafyun am li jami'i ma yu'badu min dunillah. An encompassing negation, negating the right of worship from everything besides Allah. Wa ithbatun khas. Al-ibadah lillahi wahdahu la sharika lah. And a specific affirmation, affirming the right of worship in every aspect and every manner for Allah alone with no partners. For Allah alone with no partners. And then whenever we ponder over this affair like the author is mentioning, this is what Allah, He sent all of the prophets with. He sent all of the prophets with, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبَلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ يعني أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وسلم. We did not send any messenger before you, O Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ, except we revealed to him, La ilaha illa ana fa'budun. There's none who has the right to be worshipped but me, so therefore worship me alone. None has the right to be worshipped except me. This is negation and affirmation, and to emphasize, so therefore worship me alone. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا. And indeed we sent to every nation a messenger proclaiming. What did he proclaim? أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا. That you must worship Allah and avoid the ta'gut. To summarize, the ta'gut is a term referring to everything that's worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To every false deity and god, actions of worship are directed to them besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This term ta'gut includes all of that. So here this is also negation and affirmation. أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. To worship Allah, this is affirmation. وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ, and avoid and stay away from the طَاغُوتِ. This is negation. This is negation. So all of these verses here clarify the meaning of La ilaha illallah. They all contain negation and affirmation. Negating the right of worship from everything besides Allah and affirming it for Allah alone. This is in general here. Allah, He mentioned about all of the prophets. And then if you read in Surah Al-A'raf and Surah Hud, and in Surah Mu'minun, and the likes like this. Allah mentions the stories of several of the prophets in detail. And each time, beginning the story of Nuh, beginning the story of Salih and Shu'aib, or Hud and Salih and Shu'aib, and the likes like this. The first thing they say to their people, Ya Qawmi, O my people, U'budu Allaha, Ma lakum min ilahin ghayru, Ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. O my people, worship Allah. You have no true God worthy of worship besides Him. This is all negation and affirmation. You have no true God worthy of worship besides Him. You have no true God worthy of worship. That's negation. Besides Him, that's affirmation. So therefore, ubudu Allah. You understand this? So these verses here, they clarify the meaning of the shahada as regards to worship, negating the right of worship from everything besides Allah and affirming it for Allah alone. Affirming it for Allah alone. Ya Qawmi. Ya Qawmi i'budu Allaha ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. And other verses likewise. This is what Allah, He has legislated. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. And your Lord has ordained, and He has legislated. أَمَرَ وَأَوْصَى سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى وَشَرَعَ. He legislated and ordered and commanded and ordained. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا. That you should not worship إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. Anyone except for Him. Anyone except for Him. So, Allah ta'budu, this is la ilaha. Illa iyyahu, this is illallah. You understand that? So, this is what the prophets and messengers, they were sent with. This is millatu Ibrahim al-Hanifiyyah. Millatu Ibrahim al-Hanifiyyah, al-Hanifiyyah. This is what Ibrahim, he was upon, alayhi salatu wassalam. With qali Ibrahim li abihi wa qawmihi, innani bara'u mimma ta'budun illa alladhi. Whenever Ibrahim, he said to his father and his people, indeed I'm free from you and that which you worship besides Allah, except for the one who created me. Indeed I'm free from you and that which you worship, this is la ilaha, except for the one who created me. I mean, I'm not free from him, rather I'm devoted to him sincerely and wholeheartedly. This is illallah. This is the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. You understand that? So this statement here requires this action implementation. To free oneself from everything that's worshiped besides Allah, and to devote oneself in worship to Allah alone. To believe that Allah alone is worthy of worship, and that everything that's worshiped besides Allah is falsehood and not worthy of worship, regardless of its status or rank in this life. You understand this? This is the meaning. This is al-urwa al-wuthqa. This is the strong handhold, and this is the reality of faith, and this is the meaning of the shahada and la ilaha illallah, and this is the key to paradise. And this is the key to paradise. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَى الْوُثْقَى لَا انْفِصَامَ لَهَا لَا انْفِصَامَ لَهَا. You understand that? فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ, whoever disbelieves in all of the false deities worshipped besides Allah, وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ, and he believes in Allah. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ, what's that? لَا إِلَهَا. Right? وَيُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ, and he believes in Allah. Illallah. You disbelieve in everything that's worshipped besides Allah, meaning you believe that those things are worshipped in falsehood. You believe that those things are worshipped in falsehood and they're not worthy of worship whatsoever. And that worship is falsehood and it's rejected and not accepted. وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. That worship is nothing, it's not accepted. Dust in the winds, it will not benefit. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ أَمَّالُهُمْ كَرَمَادٍ اشْتَدَّتْ بِهِ الرِّيحُ فِي يَوْمٍ عَاصِفٍ. فِي يَوْمٍ عَاصِفٍ. So they have no benefit. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ. You must disbelieve in the طَاغُوت. And you must free yourself from what they worship besides Allah. And you must believe in Allah and devote yourself to Allah alone. And whoever does this, فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ. Then he's holding fast to the strongest handhold. Then he's upright upon the shahada and la ilaha illallah. La infisama laha. It will never break or fail him. It will never break or fail him. He will hold on to this handhold and it will take him to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that has conditions and requirements. And the shahada can be heavy and it can be strong and beneficial. It can be light and it can be weak. And a person can be exposed. You understand? So the shahada has rights. We must learn to fulfill them. The head of that is learning the proper meaning. And these verses here are clarifying the proper meaning. So we have great care and concern, whether that's our life. We call it the creed of the Salaf. The understanding of the Salaf with regards to the Tawheed of our Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is primary, number one, most important thing. If anything is going to go in life, it's not going to be the Tawheed.
If you're going to let go of anything in this life, it's not going to be the Tawheed. You're not going to compromise in anything, any aspect of the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. And from the perfection and the completion of the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal is that you bow down to Him in obedience, and you comply to His commandments, and you apply them and abide by them in your life, and you leave the prohibitions entirely, and you avoid them, and you fear Allah in the unseen. And you fear Allah and the unseen. So there's the foundation of a tawheed, and then there's rites of a tawheed, and there's things that complete and perfect the tawheed. So a person, he can have tawheed, but he can be deficient because he did not give care and concern for the rites of tawheed. And the rites of tawheed, and that which will complete and perfect the tawheed, are the actions of obedience, surrender, and servitude. Are the actions of obedience, surrender, and servitude. Even a person, he can perform an action of obedience, surrender, and servitude, but he does it deficiency with the heart that is heedless. So therefore, that action has deficiency. You understand? So there are rites that must be fulfilled with regards to the tawheed. With regards to the tawheed, inwardly and outwardly. So anyone who has the tawheed, alhamdulillah, even if it's weak, he's guaranteed. If he dies in that manner, even if it's weak, he's guaranteed paradise. But he's not guaranteed to enter in the beginning without any reckoning or any punishment. You understand? He's not guaranteed to enter in the beginning without any reckoning or any punishment. The one who's guaranteed to enter paradise without any reckoning or any punishment, guaranteed. It's a promise from Allah. وَلَا يُخْلِفُ اللَّهُ الْمِعَادِ. Those who fulfill the rites of Tawheed. Those who actualize the Tawheed in their life, inwardly and outwardly, and fulfill the rites of that. And this goes to having sincere faith and applying the obligations daily in the proper manner and leaving and avoiding the prohibitions, and seeking forgiveness for one's shortcomings and sins, and begging Allah to accept the deeds. In this manner, a person, he will fulfill the rites of a tawheed, and if he dies in that manner, may Allah bless us and make us from them, he will enter paradise with no punishment and no reckoning. This here is called tahqiq al-tawheed. That's what he mentioned here. This is what we call to. This is what we call to actualize and fulfill the rites of al-tawheed. So al-tawheed means to single out Allah alone for worship. إفراد الله بالعبادة. It has come in this verse here. He mentioned رحمه الله, the first commandment in the book of Allah. If we want to look for the first commandment in the book of Allah, how will we do that in the first place? What will we have to look for? And if we don't know what is the first commandment, how are we going to look for? You're going to look for the first what? Amr. You're going to look for, you have to have some knowledge of the Arabic language. You're going to be looking for a command verb, right? If you're looking for the first order, then you have to be able to identify verbs and command verbs. That's why he mentioned before the importance of studying Al-Ajrumiyyah. At the beginning of Al-Ajrumiyyah, what are you going to learn? Alamat al-Ism, Alamat al-Fil, and the likes like this. So there's signs indicating that this word is a noun, other signs indicating that this word is a verb, signs indicating that this one is Madhi, and that this one is Mudari', and that this one is Amr, and the likes like this. So if you're going to try to search for the first command in the book of Allah, you have to have some fundamental knowledge. So this is clarifying the importance of what he mentioned before, of studying in this manner and building a foundation. So he's telling us here that the first command in the book of Allah is in the statement of Allah as well, Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum. So if we were to think and to look for the first commandment, what is the first commandment? First, we have to be able to identify these command verbs, and we look for the first command verb. So if we open the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, beginning with the Basmala, then Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and Surah Al-Fatiha, and then we continue reading, Alif Lam Mim, Dhalika Al-Kitab La Rayba Fi, we continue reading, looking for that first command, you find it in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, to addressing all mankind. Ya ayyuhan nas. U'budu rabbakum. U'bud. Abada ya'budu u'bud. Antum u'budu. Right? This is the first verb. Abada ya'budu u'bud. Antum u'budu. Ayyuhan nas. Ya ayyuhan nas. U'budu rabbakum. That's the first command. To worship your Lord. All of this is indication that this is the greatest obligation. Not to mention the right of Allah that we mentioned before, and the call of all of the prophets and messengers, and how they began their call, so on and so forth. This is all a clarification that Tawheed is the greatest commandment. وَعَظَمُ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ التَّوْحِيدِ وَعَظَمُ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ التَّوحِيدِ. And the greatest thing Allah, He ordered is التَّوحِيدِ. This is from the evidences of that. And in the interpretation of this verse in Tafsir al-Baghawi, رحمه تعالى, he transmitted a statement by Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, and he says, "Kullu amrin fil Qur'ani bil ibada amrun bi at-tawheed." And this is a fundamental principle.
كُلُّ أَمْرٍ بِالْعِبَادِ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ أَمْرٌ بِالْتَوْحِيدِ.
Every order in the Book of Allah for ibadah is an order for tawheed.
كُلُّ أَمْرٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ بِالْعِبَادِ أَمْرٌ بِالْتَوْحِيدِ.
Every command and order in the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal for worship is an order for tawheed. This is the understanding of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. So now from here, if we go to Surah Dariyat, also the verse that he mentioned in the beginning, and the interpretation of Ibn Abbas as well, with regards to that, radiallahu anhu, what did he say? وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ أي إِلَّا لِيُوَحِّدُونَ إِلَّا لِيُوحِّدُونَ. To worship me alone, you need to make tawheed, to sing on me alone in worship, to establish la ilaha illallah.
إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ. Instead to worship Allah alone with no partners. That's the meaning. إِلَّا لِيُوَحِدُونَ. And except to single out me alone for all actions of worship. So every command for ibadah in the Book of Allah is a command for a tawheed. Rather, there is no ibadah without tawheed. And any time there is ibadah that's mixed with shirk from any aspect, then it's rejected and not accepted. It's rejected and not accepted. Like salah that doesn't have wudu. Somebody prays salah without wudu, it's rejected and not accepted. And somebody who did any action of worship without the proper tawheed, it's rejected and not accepted. It's rejected and not accepted. All of this is clarifying what he's mentioning here, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the great status and rank and the lofty position of a tawheed and the importance to be concerned with that. The entire life. Every single day. Every single day, a believer is engaged, involved in learning and studying and revising and reviewing tawheed. Just look at the adhkar in the morning and the adhkar in the evening and the adhkar after the obligatory prayers. It's all about tawheed, emphasizing the tawheed, reviving the tawheed, cultivating the tawheed, making the tawheed firm and strong and deeply rooted in the heart. If you understand these adhkar, that's the purpose of them and that's what you benefit from. And then along with that, the whole Quran from the beginning to the end is about tawheed. Inshallah, we will read some benefits with regards to that. So the author, he says, وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ الْعَقِيدَ إِذَا سَلِمَتْ مِنَ الشَّوَائِبِ فَصَاحِبُهَا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ لَا مَحَالَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مُرْتَكِبًا الْكَبَائِرِ فَإِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَبَائِرِ إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَذَّبَهُمْ ثُمَّ أَدْخَلَهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ بِتَوْحِيدِهِمْ وَقَبَلَ ذَلِكَ بِفَضْلِهِ وَكَرَمِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَإِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَ أَفَى عَنْهُمْ فَهِيَ وَيْمُ اللَّهِ النَّجَاةُ وَالْإِسْمَةُ. So whenever the creed is free of impurities, it's adherent, and the one who holds fast to it and has purified it from impurities is guaranteed to be among the people of paradise, even if they committed major sins. Those who commit major sins are under the will of Allah. If Allah wills, He may punish them and then admit them into paradise due to their tawheed. And before that, because of His grace and His mercy. And if He wills, He may pardon them entirely. Indeed, tawheed is the ultimate means of salvation and protection. So some people of a tawheed, they will be punished in the fire according to their sins. But that punishment will be a temporary punishment, and it will be a punishment of cleansing, not a punishment of eternal disgrace and belittlement and pain and agony. There's a difference, but no one will want to face the punishment of the fire or to be purified. But because of the virtue of a tawheed and the status of a tawheed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even the one who has only the mustard grains weight in his heart, he will exit the fire. But this is a reality. We must realize that some believers, Muslims, maybe he's Salafi even. We talked about that before, right? Some Salafis, they have tawheed, but it's weak. They have faith, but it's weak. He has the foundation of the creed, but it's weak. He knows the creed of the Salaf and he believes in that, but he commits sins. He lies and he cheats, he takes interest, major sins, right? Backbiting people in the lifestyle, it's a major sin. Carrying tales in namima, it's a major sin. Riling up, making slander, making tahrish, instigation in the lifestyle, these are major sins. He does the likes of these affairs, and he dies in that manner. He's from these people here. He's under the will of Allah. If Allah wills, He will punish him, and if Allah wills, He will enter him into paradise. But the point is that the people of At-Tawheed, they're guaranteed to enter paradise. But they do not all enter at the same time, nor in the same manner.
manner, and they're not all guaranteed to not be punished in the fire. Rather, some people of Tawheed will be punished in the fire because of a weakness of their faith and deficiency in their Tawheed. But because of the virtue of that and the favor of Allah Azza wa Jalla, they will not be punished for eternity, and they will not be punished the punishment of disgrace. Rather, they'll be punished the punishment of purity, which in reality is a mercy from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and then they will be admitted into paradise when they will never be asked to leave. All that? Alhamdulillah. So he says, Rahimahullah, وَلَا تَكَارُ تَرَى أَحَدًا سَلِيمًا مُعْتَقَدْ إِلَّا وَعْمَالُ الْبِرِّ وَسَعِرُ الطَّاعَاتِ أخف عليه من حمل الريشة ولذا كان الاهتمام بها والعمل على تصحيحها من أجل الأمور وأعظم الأعمال. And you rarely find someone with a sound creed. We say the sound creed that's cultivated and rooted deep. You'll rarely find someone with a sound creed that's cultivated and rooted deep, except that the righteous deeds of, and the actions of obedience are lighter for him than that of a feather. And except that the righteous actions of obedience are as light and effortless for him as carrying a feather. I mean, it's very easy for him. It's easy for him to establish the five daily prayers. It's easy for him to be kind to his parents. It's easy for him to give the rights to his wife. It's easy for him to educate and care for his children. It's easy for him to pardon and overlook the people's faults. It's easy for him to repent and to seek forgiveness. It's easy for him to give zakat on his wealth and to participate in other aspects of charity. It's easy for him. It's light for him. Rather, he takes joy in that, and he has delight in the actions of worship. This is from the great virtue of sincere faith. The great virtue of sincere faith, it becomes easy for him by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. But this is not something maybe that starts in the beginning. He has to go through a struggle, and he'll reach this level until he reaches the sweetness of faith. And now these obligatory rites and sacred actions of obedience and the likes like this, these sacred obligatory rites and actions of obedience, initially they're heavy for some, but then whenever they're truthful and sincere and they bear the weight of that with faith, and iman, and they continue to fight their soul, Allah will favor them and bless them, and these affairs will become light for them and easy. And they'll be able to traverse swiftly on the straight path of Allah Azza wa Jal. They'll be able to traverse swiftly and good and upright, easily, on the straight path of Allah Azza wa Jal by the grace of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. This is a clarification of the great virtue and benefit of the sound, profound, upright creed of at-Tawheed. The one who has it, sincere faith, performing the rites of Islam become easy for him. Whether they're the most beloved for him, he'll never let them go. Before he even let the obligations go, there's non-obligatory acts he has to do. The obligatory prayer he's establishing, rather he's standing in the night prayer. After Isha, he's praying several raka'at. Or before, even better, he'll get up in the middle of the night before Fajr and pray a number of raka'at. Before Fajr, he's praying two already. He's not going to leave the obligatory prayer. He's praying on top of that non-obligatory prayers. He's not going to leave the fast of Ramadan. On top of that, he's fasting on Yom Arafah. You understand? It's life for him. He's loving it. Alhamdulillah, he's in the good life. The good life of obedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla. He pays zakat. On top of that, he's giving charity as well. He's spending here and spending there. Alhamdulillah, for the sake of Allah and the path of Allah, the actions of worship and obedience, especially the obligations, they become light and easy for the people who have the sound, cultivated, strong, deeply rooted creed in their hearts. May Allah make us from them. He says, thus focusing on correcting one's creed is among the most noble and significant acts, and the greatest and most important affairs to be involved in. He says, وَلِلْتَوْحِيدِ فَضَائِلْ كَثِيرًا لَا تَخْفَ عَلَى طَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ وَلَدَّعِ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فَمِنْ فَضَائِلِهِ. Tawheed has numerous virtues, many of which are evident to students of knowledge and those calling to Allah. Some of its virtues include, أَنَّهُ يَمْنَعُ الْخُلُودَ فِي النَّارِ إِذَا كَانَ فِي الْقَلْبِ مِنْهُ أَدْنَى مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةِ خَرْدَلٍ. Protection from abiding in the hellfire eternally. Tawheed prevents a person from abiding eternally in the fire if there is even the smallest amount of it, that of the in their heart, equivalent to the weight of a mustard seed, meaning they will be taken out of the fire. وَمِنْهَا أَنَّهُ إِذَا كَمُلَ فِي الْقَلْبِ يَمْنَعُ دُخُولَ النَّارِ بِالْكُلِّيَّةِ. And from the benefits of at-Tawheed and the virtues of at-Tawheed is that a person who have complete exemption from the hellfire. When the Tawheed is complete in the heart, it prevents a person from entering the hellfire entirely. He will not even face that. لَا يَسْمَعُونَ حَسِيسَهَا وَهُمْ أَنَا مُبْعَدُونَ. They'll be far from that. They won't even hear it. They won't even hear it. They don't even, alhamdulillah, they're far from that.
Not even close to that. It's not even on their mind. They forgot about that. It's all about joy and happiness and pleasure with their family and their loved ones and the people of paradise. في جنة النعيم في أمن والأمان الحمد لله الحمد لله وجوار الرحمن سبحانه وتعالى والنظر إلى وجهه الكريم تبارك وتعالى. He says ومنها أيضا حصول الاهتداء الكامل والأمن الكامل في الدنيا والآخرة إن حققه. He says from that full guidance and security. Actualizing the tawheed leads to complete guidance and safety in both this life and the hereafter. This is of utmost importance to understand. This is the verse that Imam Khalif, hafidhahullah, he was referring to moments ago in the brief talk. أَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Those who believe and they did not mix their faith with ظُلْم, with oppression and injustice. And just with oppression and justice. That is these. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ. It is these. They are the people who have safety. وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. And they are upright, guided. They have safety in this life and in the hereafter. And the upright, guided in this life and in the hereafter. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that al-dhulm is three types. Al-dhulm al-akbar, which is shirk. And that's what is intended specifically here. But likewise, after that, there's al-dhulm. Al-ibad wa dhulm al-nafs. Dhulm al-ibad wa dhulm al-nafs. So the words he's using here are very important to understand. Because we have the issue of aman, wal-ihtida, of security and guidance. Security and guidance. And then we have the issue that he's mentioning here, al-amn al-kamil, wal-ihtida al-kamil, complete security and complete guidance. So some people they have safety, but they don't have complete safety. And some people, they have guidance, but they don't have complete guidance. This is going back to what was mentioned here. Because some people, they only have a mustard grain seed of faith in their heart. So with that mustard grain seed of faith, they have safety and they have guidance. But it's not complete and it's not perfect. You understand? But it's there. It's there. They have safety, they have the guidance. They have the foundation of faith. They have the foundation of al-tawheed. They have mutlaq al-iman. They have aslu al-iman. They have aslu al-tawheed. They're Muslims, right? So they have the promise of safety and they're upon guidance, but it's not complete. So therefore they're not safe in entirety from the anger and punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal and the threat of the hellfire. Although, like he mentioned here, they're safe from abiding there for eternity because of the value of that iman and that tawheed. Wadih? But to have complete aman, complete ihtida, to have complete safety, complete security, not only do you have to stay away from dhulm al-shirk, also you have to stay away from dhulm al-ibad, bil-ihtida, fi a'radihim wa amwarihim wa dima'ihim. And also you have to stay away from dhulm al-nafs. In this manner, a person who have complete safety and complete guidance. So there's dhulm, which is considered shirk, major shirk, the worst of all dhulm. Inna shirka la dhulmun azeem. Allah, he mentioned in the Surah Al-Luqman that indeed shirk is the major, that inna shirka la dhulmun azeem, great oppression. So this one, the greatest oppression, the greatest dhulm is shirk. After that, there's also another aspect of dhulm, and that is oppressing the people, oppressing them in their honor, oppressing them in their wealth, and oppressing them in their blood. In their body. You understand this? So to have complete safety and complete guidance, not only do we have to stay away from shirk, we also have to stay away from oppressing the people. We have to stay away from oppressing the people in their honor, in their reputation, in their wealth, in their property, and in their blood, and in their blood and their body. And also as well, for that guidance to be complete and the safety and security to be complete, one has to avoid oppressing his own soul with sins and actions of disobedience. In this manner, the tawheed is actualized. And in this manner, the rights of tawheed are fulfilled. And in this manner, a person, he's guaranteed to enter paradise if he dies upon that. As for those who have deficiency, and these two deficiencies in oppressing his own soul with major sin and the likes, or oppressing the slaves and their wealth or their property, or their blood or their honor, he did not fall into the oppression of shirk, then he has safety and he has guidance,
but it's limited or it's deficient. Understand? It's clear. The issue is clear. Alhamdulillah. So this is very important. So actualizing the Tawheed leads to complete guidance and safety in both this life and both this life and the hereafter. Actualizing the Tawheed, tahqiq al-Tawheed, حصول الاهتداء الكامل والأمن الكامل في الدنيا والآخرة إن حققه يعني إن حقق التوحيد إن حقق التوحيد. We studied the book of التوحيد. Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab has the chapter من حقق التوحيد دخل الجنة بغير حساب ولا عذاب. Whoever fulfills the rights of التوحيد and he will enter paradise without any punishment, without any reckoning or any punishment. And this verse here is from the verses that clarify that. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. So he says, Rahimahullah, وَمِنْهَا, and also from the virtues of التوحيد, أَنَّ أَسْعَدَ النَّاسِ بِشِفَاعَةِ الْمُصْطَفَى صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ خَالِصًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ. And the happiest, the most successful people with the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam are those who sincerely proclaim from their hearts, La ilaha illallah, that there is nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. He mentioned the footnote here, that's from the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which is collected by Bukhari, that he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Man as'adu nasi bi shifa'atika yawm al-qiyamah. O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who's the happiest and most successful? Who will benefit the most from your intercession on the day of resurrection? Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there's a mistake there, huh? Sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Laqad dhanantu ya Aba Huraira, ya Aba Huraira, Alla yas'alani an hadha al-hadith ahadun awwala minka lima ra'ayta min hirsika ala الحديث أسعد الناس بالشفاعة يوم القيامة من قال لا إله إلا الله خالصا من قلبه. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, I did not think that anyone, O Abu Hurairah, would ask me about this narration, would ask me about this narration before you, because of what I've seen from your diligence in seeking the narrations. And then he said, indeed, the happiest, the most successful of the people with my intercession on the day of resurrection are those who say La ilaha illallah sincerely and purely from their hearts. May Allah make us and our loved ones from those who say La ilaha illallah sincerely and purely from their hearts. Sincerely and purely from their hearts, from His grace and from His mercy. So this is a great virtue. Each one of these points, wallahi, requires we could, so many things to discuss and evidences and benefits that are related to these affairs, but we just read now briefly, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So he says, Rahimahullah ta'ala, وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ الْأَعْمَالَ وَالْأَقْوَالَ الظَّاهِرَ وَالْبَاطِنَ مُتَوَقِّفَةٌ فِي قُبُولِهَا وَكَمَالِهَا وَفِي كَثِيرِ الثَّوَابِ عَلَيْهَا عَلَى التَّوْحِيدِ فَكُلَّمَا قَوِّيَ كَمُولَتْ هَذِهِ الْأُمُورِ. So the acceptance, perfection, and reward of all outward and inward actions and speech depend on the strength of Tawheed. The stronger and purer the Tawheed, the more complete these aspects become. وَمِنْهَا أَنَّهُ يُحَرِّرُ الْعَبْدَ مِنْ رِقِّ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ وَالتَّعَلُّقِ بِهِمْ وَخَوْفِهِمْ وَرَجَائِهِمْ وَالْعَمَلِ لِأَجْرِهِمْ وَهَذَا هُوَ الْعِزُّ الْحَقِيقِيُّ وَالشَّرَفُ الْعَالِيُّ. He says, Rahimahullah ta'ala, referring to this true liberation, he says, Tawheed frees a person from servitude to creation, and from bowing down to the people, submitting and humbly and humbleness before the people, from an attachment to them, and from fearing them, and from placing hope in them, or working for their sake. This is true honor and elevated status. This is true honor and elevated status. A person of Tawheed, he will attach his heart to Allah, and he will not attach his heart to the people or the creation or anything. And he will have his hope in Allah, and his fear in Allah, and his trust and reliance upon Allah, not upon the people whatsoever. He'll purify his love and his hope and his fear and his trust and his trust and reliance and all aspects of worship inwardly and outwardly for Allah Azza wa Jal. He will be attached to Allah. He will hope in Allah and fear Allah and trust and rely upon Allah and take the means in his life that are pleasing and legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will live and die for Allah. As Allah, he mentioned about his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ بِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ وَنُسُكِ وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي. Indeed, my life, indeed my salat, my salat, my prayer, and my slaughter, and my life and my death is for Allah. رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ بِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ.
A person, he'll be attached to Allah, and in this manner he'll be strong. In this manner he will find honor. In this manner he'll find dignity. In this manner he'll find aid. In this manner he'll find help. In this manner he'll find assistance. In this manner he'll be raised.
Whenever a person attaches himself and his heart to something in the creation, then that thing will wind up being the death of him, and the means for his misery, and the means for his problems and issues.
But whenever you attach yourself to Allah, Allah will save you and never abandon you, and He will help you and never leave you, and He will raise you and never lower you. Subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْفَوَائِدِ الَّتِي أَشَارَ إِلَيْهَا الشَّيْخُ إِبْنُ سَعْدِي فِي حَاشِيَتِهِ عَلَى كِتَابِ التَّوْحِيدِ. So he says, rahimahullah, these and many other benefits are referred by Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah in his commentary on Kitab al-Tawheed. فَالْوَاجِبُ عَلَى الدُّعَاةِ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى أَنْ يَعْتَنُوا بأمر التوحيد وأن يهتموا به. إن مما يؤلم القلب أن تنبت نابتة تقول لما هذا الاهتمام بالتوحيد؟ ألا نهتم بأمور المسلمين وبشؤونهم؟ فالمسلمون يقتلون يمينا وشمالا ونحن ندعو إلى هدم القباب وإزالة المساجد التي بنيت على القبور ونحو ذلك من المسائل. It is incumbent upon those who call to Allah to prioritize the matter of tawheed and give it the attention it deserves. However, it is deeply saddening to hear, it's painstaking, hurting the hearts, to hear voices, people questioning this focus, saying, why all this emphasis on tawheed? Why all this emphasis on tawheed? Shouldn't we be more concerned with the affairs of the Muslims and their challenges? Muslims are being killed left and right, and you're focused on issues like demolishing domes and removing masajid built on graves? And then what's wrong with you people? The Muslims are being killed left and right, and you guys are talking about destroying the graves or taking the domes off the graves or the building the This is the doubt that he's mentioning, huh? This is something that, as he says, it hurts the heart. It hurts the heart that people would think like this, that there'd be Muslims deviant in this manner, that they would miss out on this great fundamental principle, that no matter what happens, that nothing will be accepted except with this foundation established. And that the reason why we're in this humiliation and our enemies have authority over us in this manner is because of a deficiency in tawheed, either from the foundation, because of these graves and these objects being worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, because of others deficient in establishing the rights of that, until Allah Azza wa Jalla has given our enemies our authority over us because we did not show care and concern for His law and legislation. Understand that? You understand that? There's a supplication of Ibrahim. He says, وَلَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Ibrahim, he says, وَلَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. From the supplication of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, Oh Allah, and do not make us a trial for those who disbelieve. And do not make us a trial for those who disbelieve. Everyone knows this verse. What chapter is it in? Huh? Al-Mumtahana. It's at the bottom of the page, right? Huh? I can't recall the beginning of it, but this is the point. The shahid that he says in his supplication, وَلَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا رَبَّنَا. Oh Allah, do not make us a trial for those who disbelieve. It has come in a number of the tafsir of this verse that what is being referred to, Oh Allah, do not make us a trial for those who disbelieve. Meaning that do not cause us, because of our sins and our lack of concern for establishing your religion and your obedience, do not give the disbelievers authority over us because of that until they think that they're upon the truth because they have command over us. So there'll be a trial. So the Muslims will be a trial for the disbelievers, because the disbelievers say, if they were upon the truth, if they were upon the haqq, if their deen was correct, then they would not be belittled underneath our authority. They would not be belittled underneath our authority. We would not be given victory over their lands and take them and rape their lambs and their natural resources and do to them like we're doing. If they had been on the truth, that would not happen. Right? So now they're tried by the believers. But the reason why that happened is because Allah gave the enemies authority over them because of their sins. So he's making dua that this will not happen. Right? رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَافِرُوا. Oh Allah, do not make us a trial for those who disbelieve. How could the believers be a trial for those who disbelieve? Meaning that the believers, they will sin to the extent that Allah will give the disbelievers authority over them, and then the disbelievers will think that they are upon the haqq because they have authority over the believers. Understand? So this is why we're in the situation that we're in. Huh? Because of al-wahn. Because of al-wahn. And because of hubb al-dunya, wa ithar al-dunya, wa because of the love of this life and showing preference to this life and neglecting the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal and violating the prohibitions like they're nothing and turning our backs to the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal in a great manner. In a great manner, and tell people worship graves and bow down to them. And others, when they come to the grave, they come crawling on their bellies, waliyadu billah, like dogs or like animals, because of the reverence and fear and love they have for the grave. And one of them that's tried by these affairs, likewise, he will swear by the grave and never lie, but he will swear by Allah and lie left and right. They catch him in lies. And they say, well, how did they catch him in a lie? Which is not permissible to do, but they do that. And it's known, tell him, swear by the wadi. He says, oh no, he will never swear by the wadi. He says, wallahi, wallahi, I don't owe you any money. Wallahi, wallahi, I don't owe you money. Wallahi, 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 I paid you. He says, swear by the wali. He's silent because he fears the wali. He fears the wali in a manner he should fear Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's not allowed to tell him to swear by the wali. But this is something that's tried and tested. The people of knowledge, they have clarified these affairs, and it's something that is known by the people who are familiar with these affairs and those lands where they occur. Those lands where they occur and the people that they occur by. This is known from them. So this is why the humiliation has befallen us. And this is why the believers in certain lands and places are being killed left and right. And they're being disgraced left and right. Because we have turned away from the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla and replaced that with innovations and cultures and ideologies that are contrary. Waliyadu billah. So the return to honor and to nobility is by returning to the deen. Huh? Yanzil Allahu عليكم ظلا لا ينزعه عنكم حتى لن ينزعه عنكم حتى ترجعوا إلى دينكم. Allah, whenever you do this affair here, showing preference to the worldly life, Allah will send upon you humiliation. He will not raise it until you return to your religion. Which religion is that? The religion of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Until you return to that religion. Now, as for if you return to the religion of the Khawarij and the Ikhwan Muslimun and the Sururiyya, you return to the religion of the Tablighiyya and the rest of these people and the Sufiyya and the Rafidah, then it's never going to happen. They're the problems in the first place. Waliyadu billah. Until you return to the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiallahu anhum. At that time, Allah will lift the humiliation and He will raise the ummah and they will have authority again. Not until then. That's why the disbelieving countries like France and the other, and Britain and the likes of this, and America, they support staunchly, financially, and in a major manner, the media and private and public, the deviant groups. They fund the deviant groups. They fund the Sufiyya. They fund the Khawarij. They fund them. It's known. They fund the Sufiyya. They fund the Rafidah. They fund Iran. And this is well known. Why? Because the Islam will never be honored and have victory again and have strength so long as people are dancing around in the masjid or calling on graves or blowing themselves up in the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You're never going to get honor in this manner. Waliyadu billah. Waliyadu billah, you get honor from actualizing tawheed and bowing down in serenity to Allah and obedience from public and in private and establishing the legislation in your life and your home and your child with your money and your earnings and your wealth. In that manner the tawheed and the religion is established and the ummah will be raised and rectified and will have honor again. And not before that. At-tasfiyah wa-tarbiyah. So he says, rahimahullah, فَإِذَا كَانَ الْخَرِيرُ إِمَامًا الحنفاء الذي جعله الله أمة وحده وقال عنه وإبراهيم الذي وفى وأمر نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يتبعه في حنيفيته وامتحنه الله سبحانه وتعالى بذبح ابنه فامتثل ولبى أمر الله وكسر الأسنان بيده الشريفة واشتد نكيره على أهل الشرك في إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام the leader of the monotheist, the leader of the people of al-Tawheed, who Allah made him a nation by himself, considered him a nation by himself, described as fulfilling all of Allah's commandments, whose path of monotheism, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was commanded to follow, feared falling into shirk. How can anyone else feel secure from it? Ibrahim was tested by Allah with the command of sacrifice. It's his son, with the command to sacrifice his son and obeyed without hesitation. He was commanded to sacrifice his son with a knife, and he obeyed him without hesitation. alayhi salatu wassalam. He broke the idols with his blessed hands and strongly opposed the people of shirk. ما هذه الفضائل وغيرها يخاف أن يقع في الشرك الذي هو عبادة الأصنام وأعظم الشرك فما بالك بما دونه. Despite these virtues, he prayed to be safe from the gravest form of shirk, idol worship. So what do you think about those lesser than him? Huh? Or that lesser, those lesser than that? Right? If he is afraid of worshipping idols, then what do you think about things lesser than that? And Ibrahim made dua for him and his children. وَجُنُوبَنِي وَبَنِيَ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الْأَسْنَامِ. Oh Allah, distance me. Take me and my children away from worshipping idols. And he's afraid to the extent this is from his supplications, alayhi salatu wasalam. Oh Allah, take me and my children away from worshipping idols. Oh Allah, take me and my children away from worshipping idols. Oh Allah, do not allow me and my child to fall into the trap of worshipping idols and stones. Understand that. He's afraid of that for himself. So what about lesser than that? From the minor shirk and the rest of the affairs of shirk. And what about those who are lesser than him in status and rank? Should they not be afraid? Should they not be afraid? Yes, they should be afraid. This is the point. This is the point. So he says, وَلِذَلِكَ يُقُولُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ التَّيْمِي رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ يَأْمَنُ الشِّرْكَ بَعْدِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. It is for this reason Ibrahim al-Taymi, رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, he said, who can feel safe from shirk after Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام. The author, he mentions, وَيَقُولُ شَيْءٍ مُحَمَّدِ بِنْ عَبْدُ وَهَابِ رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهُ فِي حَدِيثِ أَبِي السَّعِيدِ الْقُدْرِي رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ قَالَ مُوسَى يَا رَبِّ عَلِّمْنِي شَيْئًا أَذْكُرُكَ وَأَدْعُوكَ بِهِ قَالَ يَا مُوسَى قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ, he cited the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, where Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he asked Allah, oh my Lord, teach me something by which I can remember you and supplicate to you. Allah responded, say la ilaha illallah. وتتمته قال يا ربي كل عبادك يقولون هذا قال قل لا إله إلا الله قال إنما أريد شيئا تخصني به قال يا موسى لو أن أهل السماوات السبع والأراضين السبع في كفة ولا إله إلا الله في كفة مالت بهن لا إله إلا الله مالت بهن لا إله إلا الله. So he says, yani the meaning of the narration, say la ilaha illallah. And then Musa, he replied, all your servants say this. And Allah, he said, O Musa, if the seven heavens and the seven earths were placed on one side of the scale, and la ilaha illallah on the other, la ilaha illallah would outweigh them. La ilaha illallah would outweigh them. As mentioned here, Sheikh Al-Albani declared the narration to be weak. If I remember correctly, some other scholars declared it to be hasan, and Allah knows best. Qala Sheikh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, should be رحمه الله في كتاب التوحيد على هذا الحديث فيه أن الأنبياء يحتاجون للتنبيه على فضل لا إله إلا الله. So from the مسائل and benefits that the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abd al-Wahhab رحمه الله, he mentioned in his commentary on this and in the مسائل and the book of التوحيد, this hadith shows that even the prophets needed reminders of the virtue of لا إله إلا الله. So no one is in no need of la ilaha illallah, or to be reminded of la ilaha illallah, or the virtue of la ilaha illallah, or the importance of la ilaha illallah. It's not something that's light or should be neglected or considered insignificant. Rather, it's the fundamental and the base of the religion. It's the call of all of the prophets and messengers, and it's the means to truly seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Without it, a person is nothing. He says, فَيَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا أَن نَهْتَمَّ بِهَذَا الْأَمْرِ وَنُولِيَهُ اهْتِمَامًا كَبِيرًا فإذا سلم هذا الأمر فما بعده أخف وأسهل ويضمن السلامة ما بعده من الأعمال أما إذا كان هذا الأصل فاسدا فلا انتفاء ولا صلاح ولا قبول. We must prioritize and give great attention to this affair. When this foundation is sound, everything that follows becomes easier and more straightforward, ensuring the validity and acceptance of subsequent deeds. Conversely, if this foundation is corrupt, no other deeds will be beneficial, correct, or accepted. Will be beneficial, correct, or accepted. Alhamdulillah. Barakallahu fikum. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. I have many benefits that I have gathered and collected for each one of these chapters. And inshallah, maybe we continue reading in this manner. One principle at a time with just commentary and reading through it. And then after we finish reading and the dawah is over, we return back and take those benefits after we take a break so that we finish the book and the prescribed time. طيب إن شاء الله بارك الله فيكم وجزاكم الله خيرا. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.